Good morning.
It is a very rare pleasure for me to be here. I say that because, as Pastor Aaron pointed out, I'm not really a Baptist. I'm a Christian. I serve a Baptist church, but it was not always my background. And to be preaching in a fundamentally independent Baptist church is just another one of God's little things that he has given to me. I appreciate the relationship that we have, both Aaron and I personally, but the relationship that we have with your church, Greater Life and Grace, doing the Good News Club on Thursday evenings. We've done it a couple of years now. There have been some 5 decisions for Jesus, one just 2 weeks ago. And so you need to know that as you are praying for that ministry is working. It is a great thing to do. It's a great thing for us to support. If you have a little bit of time, we can certainly find a place for you to be there. But I just again want to extend or to explain to you what a privilege to be here, to be able to talk to you. A little bit about myself. I was born, I'm the 5th child of 7 in an Irish Catholic family. I don't consider myself to be Catholic. Got over that. I'm a recovering Catholic. My family put the function back in dysfunctional. And God has done a tremendous amount of work in me. I didn't really get saved, really started serving him till I was about 28 years old. And almost immediately, God called me into the military or into the ministry. I was in the military at the time. I've done 20 years in the United States Coast Guard. Speaking of which, this is Veterans Day weekend. Would all the veterans please stand up and be recognized? Thank you so much for your service. This still is the greatest country on the planet, definitely worth serving. I want to make 2 things clear before I get started here. Number one, I am not candidating for this church. Number two, I'm not candidating for any other church. Actually, 3 things. Number 3, I'm not looking for people to join my church. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I believe that it is important for us as Christians to understand where it is that God puts us. It's his body. We are parts of it. We don't have the right to tell God where we go. And I see this time and time again in people coming to our particular church, coming from a separate church. My leadership team hates it when I meet a person for the first time coming to our church because I say the following. If this is the place that God wants you to be, great, because you will make us a better church. We will make you a better Christian, and it will be wonderful. But, and this is the part they hate, if this isn't the place that God wants you to be, can I just say I don't want you here either, in the nicest possible way? And I will do my best, knowing the churches in this area, I will do my best to help you find that place that God has you. Because when you find that place, we win. The body is strongest when it does what God wants us to do. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. I have it up on the screen because I'm a PowerPoint junkie. And so you can either read along here or read along in your own Bible as you wish. Oh, and thank you for the green M&Ms. There were, Aaron and I were passing emails back and forth before we had gotten to this date. And he asked me if there was anything I needed. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I really don't need anything. But just for fun, I said green M&Ms. Anybody want any green M&Ms? They're right here. I've lost 40 pounds since May, and this is a temptation. So pray for me. Let's read God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of his body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, okay, did I do this? Yeah, okay. Just read the words, it's okay. It's a lot easier that way. Where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You see, the body is one. I may represent one church. Pastor Aaron leads this church. Pastor Sam over at Calvary leads another church. There are many parts of the body here in Elko. And we need to understand that that's exactly what we are. Parts of a body. And of course, it even extends beyond Elko. It extends to all of the Christian churches, all of the churches that represent Jesus faithfully and his word. We are parts of the same being, the same body. And we need to work together, especially considering some of the things that are beginning to happen as time progresses on. We need one another. And we have to understand that we can be different. One of the things that I so much appreciate about God in allowing the different denominations is that it allows us to express our own unique quality, the unique qualities and gifts that God gives to us. We in our church has gone through a process of redefining ourselves, but searching for God's vision for us as a church. And part of that has been looking through what we value, what we really feel like is important to us. And one of the things that we truly value is laughter. We really don't want to take ourselves too seriously, because when we do that, we have a tendency to come off poorly to others. And I am by no means perfect. And if you hang around me long enough, you will find that out. Actually, rather quickly. If you don't, just talk to my wife. She'll be more than happy to let you know about this. But God isn't threatened by this. He uses us exactly the way that we are, the exact way he created us to be. And again, I mentioned my background. My family was very dysfunctional. I was extremely dysfunctional myself, and God and I are still working on that. But in spite of those things, or maybe even because of those things, God still works through me, and I'm never going to forget where it is that I came from. Because it helps me to be able to talk to people in a way that perhaps somebody, well, frankly, my wife grew up in the church, and she really doesn't understand people often, whereas I do. But there are many members, and God uses us and can use us exactly the way that we are, exactly the way that He changes us. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5 says, as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. In spite of our differences, or in spite of rather the fact that we are individual, we still have to work together. And again, this is why I so appreciate partnering with you folks. The two churches together, not one superseding the other, not one getting higher billing than the other, but working hand in hand Thursday afternoons at that school so that kids will have an opportunity to at least hear about who Jesus is. It is a great thing for us to be able to do. But the thing is, and what makes it happen, what makes it possible, is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. This is all driven by Him, by God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that does this. Because I'll tell you what, folks, in all honesty, I never in my life imagined standing here. And I don't just mean in grace, but in a fundamental independent Baptist church. Because I was not always treated very well by fundamental independent Baptists. And I had a chip on my shoulder. And it was a big one. Because I've got wide shoulders. The Holy Spirit is what brings me here today. Without any chip on my shoulders. And again, being able to identify myself, not just simply as a Baptist, it is a label that is helpful to some people, but as a Christian, speaking with other Christians. But it's that one Spirit that we're baptized into. Galatians 3:27-29 puts it this way, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And we are all heirs. We are working toward the same goal, wanting to glorify Jesus, wanting to give other people the opportunity to receive the things that Jesus has given to us in the years or months or days or even seconds that we have been serving Him. You see, you don't have to, and I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, you don't have to attend a new believers class in order to have something to offer somebody else. If Jesus has simply only had time to forgive you of your sins, you have that to offer the people around you. And it is up to us to do that. See, you cannot say that I don't belong to the body. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I'm not qualified. Because you are. I hate trite sayings, but some of them are accurate and some of them need to be said. And God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Paul's advice to Timothy was, don't let anyone look down at your youth. Don't let anyone look down on your experience with God and with your knowledge of God and tell you that it's not enough. And don't allow that thought to enter into your heart or your mind, because you belong to the body, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done in you. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, when Simon Peter saw it, Simon is a fisherman. Jesus, knowing the creation that he created, knows that if you speak over water, sound carries. So he got in Peter's boat and asked him to go a little bit offshore. Again, being a sailor, I know this. And began speaking to the people. And after he got through, he decided that he was going to pay Peter a little bit, or Simon a little bit of rent. So told him, cast your net over the right side of the boat. And they caught a huge catch. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And it was from that moment that God started using that man. A sinful man, yes, but guess what? That's all God has to work with, isn't it? You know? We really can never forget that. Sometimes we start believing our own press releases that we're somehow or another sinless. We're not. Well, okay, I'm not. Again, hang around me a little while. You'll figure it out. But here's the thing. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sin, in spite of the ways that we have to go, before we're ready to face Jesus face to face, God puts us in a place where He wants us to be. And I'm not just talking about a church. You realize that you could have been born anytime, and you could live anywhere. I grew up in an Air Force family. I've lived in various places. I spent 20 years myself in the military. I've moved around a lot. I had zero ties to Nevada when we moved here. And can I tell you that of all the people I've met in the world, native Nevadans are the most independent people I've ever met in my life? I think the unofficial motto of this state is that this is the pull yourself up by your own bootstrap state. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, of all the places I could have gone, here? But here I am, and here I serve. And I have fallen in love with this place and have zero intention of leaving it. We're going through a construction process. We had someone back in April run into the side of the building. And when you run into a 102-year-old building, stuff gives. I have a crack that goes through a 12-inch thick wall. They got to take out 25 feet of wall down in my kitchen, which is great. I get a new kitchen. That's kind of nice. But going through this process, I am beginning to understand why very often within 6 months of completing a project, most pastors leave. The average pastor leaves 6 months after the end of some major renovation project. It just proves to you that your pastor is above average, because he's still here after you guys have done this wonderful stuff to this building. I hope I'm able to hang in there. I'm pretty sure I will, because I'm even more stubborn than Aaron is. But God places us where He wants us to be. And again, we don't have the right to tell Him that we're going to go someplace else and do something else, because it's His choice. When you say, yes, Lord, you have surrendered, and we use that term, surrendered yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you can no longer say, no, Lord. That has to just be eliminated from our vocabulary. It is as He chooses. Even Jesus himself submitted himself to God's will in the garden when wanting to try to talk God out of it, finally said, "Lord, not my will, yours be done." And God has placed you here. God has put you in this place. And again, not just this church, but yes, this church as well. Acts chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once at heaven. I can't look down. A sheet, Peter was on the rooftop praying, began to get hungry, fell into a trance. A sheet was lowered down, contained all kinds of animals. Some animals were probably good for a good, devout Jewish guy to eat, some not so much. And when that voice said, "Peter, rise up, kill and eat," he just, "Oh no, Lord. Oops, there's a mistake." Because we know God had a point. We know God had a plan. And it was at that point that Peter realized that God was not just interested in the Jewish people. He was interested in everyone. And church, we have to remind ourselves of that every once in a while, don't we? That person that you don't get along with very well, that person that you just cannot seem to talk to because it just winds up into an argument, God wants them in the kingdom. My high school friends were all Christians when I grew up. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But they were. They were super saints. These people were just godly. And they used to talk to me about Jesus all the time. And it was like bullets bouncing off a Superman's chest. It went nowhere. They actually had a meeting because they were Baptists. They had a meeting and they said, "Bill is never going to get saved. And so we need to just stop talking to him about Jesus." They continued to be my friends, but they stopped talking to me about Jesus. It was a while later that I finally surrendered to the Lord, but everything they said, everything they told me, came bouncing back into my head. When you tell someone about Jesus, whether they respond or not, God's word does not come back empty, but will accomplish the very thing he sends it out to do. But it's as he chooses. And we can't say to another person, "They don't belong. They're never going to get saved. It's worthless. It's useless." We can't do it. And we can't judge each other that way either. In Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 38, it says, "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are.'" Now Barnabas, son of encouragement, right, wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take them. Just read the words, Bill, you'll be fine. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Don't know what happened. But Mark sort of took off. And it stuck in Paul's craw. And Paul wrote him off. However, Paul, being the godly man that he is, wanting to do what God calls him to do, later on in his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, Paul writes this: "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to to me for ministry. You never know what is going to ultimately happen with another individual. You don't know what's going to happen with you, in all honesty, because God generally doesn't tell us everything we want to know. He tells us what we need to know. It's enough for us just simply to say, yes, Lord, and to recognize that God sees the big picture and He knows where He wants you. You see, if God has called you to this church, you fit with this church. As you can see, I am very different from your pastor. And you can all say amen, that's okay. My church says it all the time. In fact, I tell my church all the time that if they had been smart, they would have hired my wife to preach and let me clean toilets because she's much better at it than I am. But He's called you here, and He's called you here for a reason. And your being here and your being obedient to God's call makes this a stronger church. See, this is why we can't leave a church prematurely. You know, kind of the day of belonging to a church, being born in a church, being raised in a church, and dying in a church, it really is a rare thing nowadays. I served at a church in Hayward, California, and the church secretary had been going to that church for 40 years. There were five generations of her family attending that church every Sunday morning. Now, the reason that she'd only been going to this church for 40 years was the previous church that she had been going to for the first 35 years of her life had closed down. That doesn't happen a lot today. But the way I've seen it, most people, it seems, leave the church before God moves them. And that's a very, very dangerous thing because it's God who places us. And He places us there that there are no divisions. Again, you fit here. I had that discussion with a first-time visitor that I told you about. And as I was talking to him, I realized he really isn't a fit in this church. And I actually recommended that he come here. This was some years ago. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm going to stay here. And before worship was over, he got up and left. I don't see him, so don't know where he went. But when like-minded Christians who have things in common, Christians who like things done a certain way, stick around together, fellowship happens. And when fellowship happens, relationships are strengthened. People are encouraged to pursue God more. And it happens in every God-fearing church. It just happens differently. And again, God isn't threatened by that. But He wants that there are no divisions. And in that great high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, Jesus says this. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. When people are in the place they belong, when they're doing the things they're called to do, when they partner with other parts of the body, other churches, this prayer is answered. To the extent we become one, celebrating the differences that we have, and being able to, as Pastor Aaron said earlier, put aside the molehill disagreements and focus on those fundamentals that bind us together so closely. It shows the world who Jesus truly is. And not only there are no divisions, but we all care for one another. We all care for one another. You guys are praying for Steve Jones. We are praying for Steve Jones. Not because we know Steve, but because I know Aaron. And I got a pretty good idea. I know what Steve's character is like because I know Aaron. I'm pretty sure I know what a lot of your characters are like because I know your pastor. But we care for one another. We were praying for you as you were building this building, as you were renovating this building. We continue to pray for you and other churches because, again, if you're strong, we're strong. We rely on each other. We need each other. Romans 12, 9 through 13, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Boy, if we can do that, just that right there, we will show the world what the Savior is like. And know, again, that if one member suffers, if someone is going through adversity, it needs to affect us all. This is a tough one because very few of us really like to suffer, do we? I had to do a funeral this week, early this week, and it was for folks that I didn't even know. And on the one hand, I do, enjoy is not the right word. I like being available to people. I like that I have something to tell them that might give them a little bit of comfort. I hate having to do funerals, especially for folks you don't know, because there's just so much you don't know. But just being available, seeing the hurt that they're experiencing, it's contrary to us to not want to fix that. But you know what? Sometimes we just can't, and we have to live with that. But if one member suffers, again, Romans 12, continuing on through verses 14 and 16, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. For some of us, that's a little easier than others. But church, what you have to know is you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we all need to work together, not just within a church, but within churches, across denominational lines, not taking any minor things into consideration, but as long as those fundamentals are covered, those essentials are done, then we can do more for this area, more for this planet, than we could ever do alone. Be so like Christ in your heart and mind that you look at the big picture. Look beyond the superficial. And do what God has called you to do where He has placed you. Let's pray. Father, again, I count it such a huge privilege to be here. to be preaching in my brother's church and to be able to give your word. I ask, Lord, again, that you would continue the great work that you have begun here in this place with these people to the day of Jesus Christ. I pray that grace would not only be able to feel your grace, but it would be so overflowing in them that even if people aren't interested in you, and that is hugely to their shame, but they would see these folks and just think, you know, there's just something about them. I just like being with them. I just sort of feel better when I hang around them because they're so encouraging. They're so nice. And at the same time, Lord, I also pray that while being nice and being gracious, they would also be people who would tell their story of what you have done in their lives and give everyone the opportunity to receive what we all have received who follow you. Lord, to your glory and in your name, amen.